Thank you for joining us today for this life-changing message from River of Life. If you are ever in our area, we would love for you to join us. For more information, click the link down below or download our app in the App Store under ROL Crawfordville. Now, let's join Pastor Chuck Coburn as he teaches from the Word of God.
Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Well, some of you are. Some of you may not want to be here, and some of you are still trying to debate that. And what's interesting is that's kind of the situations that we deal with a lot in life. Sometimes we think we're really in a place and we're not. Sometimes we're in a place and we don't want to be. And sometimes we're just trying to figure it out. For instance, when you talk about being in love, I was talking to one of our high school teenagers, Isabella Taft, and I said, I know there's like this way that you guys learn how to connect and date. Tell me what that's like. She said, well, first of all, we have what we call texting. And she said, texting is where we just kind of text, how are you doing? What's going on? And she said, then that kind of proceeds to the next thing called talking. But what you have to understand in a teenager's world, it's not verbal talking. They're still on the cell phone, texting. You know, in that talking stage, they get to kind of know more about the person that they're talking to. Like, you know, do you like anchovies? You know, they probably don't ask that question. I'm teasing. And then if that proceeds, then it goes to hanging out. Well, now all of a sudden, it's no longer a distant thing. They're kind of moving in. And they're not all alone. They're with a friend or friends around moving in. And then finally, it resorts to dating. But what's interesting is that pretty much when these two start, you can see it in their eyes. You can see how they're following each other. You know, and even though they may not think they're kind of going down the road of love, their friends can probably see it. And you may try to deny it, but we can see what's going on. But at the same time, when they start, quote unquote, falling out of love, you can see it as well. You can notice he's not texting like he used to text, or she's not texting like she used to text. See, we adults, we talk, but the youth, they text. And youth, I want to help you out this morning. Learn how to talk, because it makes all the difference in the world. You can try texting Jesus. I don't think it's going to work. You have to talk to him one-on-one. But then there's also another scenario. There's what we call like being in trouble. And there's what you call being in trouble. I'll never forget when I was a high school teenager. I was getting ready to graduate high school, and I got a job, and I got a car. I got a Mustang 5-liter. And I'll never forget one night I was at the red light against a buddy of mine, and the light turned green, and we took off. And we didn't get 100 yards down the road, and all of a sudden the light started flashing. And I was thinking, I've got music on in my car, the lights are flashing, I must be at the club. You know, I'm teasing. Well, he pulled me over and pulled him over, and he took us down to the jail. And when we were in the jail, he said, he was looking at my buddy, he was still 17. And he said, you know what, I'm going to call your parents. He said, but Mr. Coburn, you're 18, you can spend the night in jail. I'm thinking, that's a good idea. That is a wonderful idea. I'm just a little in trouble. And then you could see it because we were in a small town like this one. He said, no, I think I'm going to call your dad. I'm like, he called my dad. Now I am really in trouble. I thought I was just in trouble, but when my dad got there, judgment day had come. So there is a difference sometimes of being in trouble and being in trouble. And also there is a time when you think you are in, or you think you claim to be in a group when you're really not. For example, a husband and wife can be married, and as far as he knows, everything is good in the relationship. And all of a sudden she drops divorce papers in his lap and walks away. And all this time, he thought he was okay, when he really wasn't. Speaking of me again, when I was in college, I got pulled over in the same car doing a little bit too fast. And I had to go to court. And I did what everybody did. I dressed up, got on my suit and everything, went to court. And I remember this judge was letting everybody go off real easy. And I thought, hey, this will be a good day for me. He got to me.
It was a whole nother story. He threw the book at me. Taught me a valuable lesson. Although I thought I wasn't going to be in trouble, I was really in trouble. And so what I want us to notice this morning is that there's a key word called in. And what's interesting is that Paul is writing a letter to a group of people. And they think they are behaving and living one way, but in all reality, their lifestyle dictates something completely different. And you would have thought that in the first letter he wrote to this group of people, they would have figured it out. But them, like some of us, were slow learners. So he had to write a second letter. And right almost in the very middle of the second letter, he makes a resounding statement that really kind of will rock their world and rock our world. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Many of you know this by heart. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and that is the key, in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Right in the middle of the second letter, Paul makes this profound statement. Because, see, this church thought they were living one way. And Paul wanted to remind them, hey, listen, if you really are in Christ, this is the life you're going to be living. Not the life you're living now. If you are truly in Christ, this is the life you're going to live. And that's really the subject matter of the title of my message this morning, In Christ. And you and I really need to have a heartfelt look this morning to find out, am I really in Christ? In Christ is used 90 times in 88 verses in the ESV version of the Bible. Resounding things that you can learn. And what will happen is that when you and I are in Christ, we are going to have some significant, so profound characteristics that are going to separate us from everybody else. But in order for us to understand that, we first of all need to understand the word in. Here's what the word in. In comes from the Greek word en, in. And what it means is a close, personal association. So we could say a close personal association with Christ. It also means one with. That means I am one with Christ. It also means union with. I am in union with Jesus Christ. And the last part of this Greek word means to be joined close to. In other words, I am joined close to the Father's heart. I am knit and bound. So then we have to ask the question, where am I really at with Jesus Christ? And I want to give you a, kind of an illustration maybe to help you out. When I was growing up, I had a good friend named Ron Brown. I went to elementary school with Ron, middle school with Ron, and high school with Ron. And Ron was a unique guy. He was real big and husky. He played football. And we used to call him No-No because he just had this thing about him. We'd say, Ron, No-No, No-No. But then Ron also had a best friend named Patrick Diggs, and Patrick played basketball, and Patrick was about, I think Patrick was right at 7 foot. He was tall. So for you young people, you won't understand this. For those older people like me, there was these two frogs, cartoon characters called Fatso and Banjo. One was real short and fat, and the other one was real tall and skinny, and we used to call them Fatso and Banjo. And Ron was a good friend of mine, but Ron had a very unique father. For you see, Ron Brown's father was Larry Brown. You may say, who is Larry Brown? Well, Larry Brown played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He played football with Mean Joe Green. He played football with Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Lynn Stallworth. That's who he played football with. And every now and then, Larry would come home to see Ron. And because he came home to see Ron, we got to meet him. I got to meet Larry a couple times. But Larry doesn't know who I am. Although I got to meet him a couple of times, Larry wouldn't know who I am from anybody. See, for some of you today, you've probably had an encounter or two with Christ a couple of times, and that's it. You really don't know who Jesus is. And if you were to be honest, Jesus really doesn't know who you are because you're not close to him. Well, when I got to college, I met a friend And we connected. His name is Mark Hall. And Mark Hall and I went to the Baptist College of Florida together. Mark Hall and I started the BSU together at the Baptist College of Florida. We did a lot of youth events together. Mark is an incredible youth pastor. But really what Mark Hall is known for more than anything else is he's the lead singer of Casting Crowns. And Mark and I know each other. I'll never forget, I went to a concert one time and I said, hey, you know, I went to school with Mark Hall. He's a friend of mine. And they're like, sure, yeah, right. And all of a sudden, they heard somebody yell my name. Guess who yelled my name? Mark Hall. And I got to introduce him. But see, I haven't talked to Mark in probably 10 plus years. Would we go to a concert today? Could I go backstage and see Mark? Possibly. I mean, I kind of know Mark and we're friends. But me and Mark aren't really close friends. See, some of you have had some opportunities with Jesus Christ, and you kind of know Jesus, but you haven't really talked to him in a while. You're kind of distant from him, and you need to be closer. Let me give you my last friend, Brad. Let me go with Matt Bryant. I've got a bunch of friends. I'm going to go with Matt Bryant. Matt Bryant is an incredible friend of mine. I grew up with Matt. He was the pastor's son. Matt and I had the privilege of going to music camps together, youth camps together. We had choir tours together. I mean, Matt and I were everywhere together. And long before Home Alone came out, Matt lived in a two-story house. And you could open up the front door and walk right up the stairwell to the second story. When his parents would go out of town, we would go out back in his boat, grab the hydro slide out, and we would hydro slide down the stairs out into the front yard. Matt is a very financial, successful businessman. Well, let me say he was. His desire was to retire by the age of 50. He's a multimillionaire, and he's retired. But let me tell you what's neat about Matt. Matt owned his own financial institution, and I never had to call the institution. Guess what number I called Matt? His personal. And today, I won't do it now because he's in church and we're in church. I could pick up the phone and call Matt. And I promise you, if I said, Matt, I need you, he'd say, what do you need? I'm coming. Because he's my best friend. That's the way Jesus is supposed to be to you. See, when you are in Christ, he is going to be closer than a brother. When you are in Christ, you're not going to have to worry about him. Because he's always there for you. So you may ask the question then, how do I become in Christ? How do I become in Christ? And let me tell you what, the Bible makes it real clear. The Bible considers our relationship with Christ like a marriage. Marriage takes place between a man and a woman. And when a man and a woman fall in love, there is a wonderful celebration. There's a wonderful union called a wedding. We are considered the bride. Jesus is considered the husband. And what we need to know is that when marriage takes place, there is this joyful, happy event that happens. I mean, you think about that. I've been to a couple weddings recently, and the last one I was at, our pastor's grandson, Zeb, got married. I haven't seen Zeb smile that much in a long time. I mean, his face was, I understand why. He outkicked his coverage. He married above and beyond. I mean, Carson, you know, Zeb got lucky. Zeb got blessed, really. Zeb, I don't know if you're in the house today or not, but he smiled. Why? Because it was the union between him and his wonderful bride, Carson. See, when we're in Christ, what we say is, Lord, today I'm letting go of all of my former loves. I'm letting go of the world. I'm letting go of all these things. And Father, I'm just going to love you and you alone. And Lord, today I'm going to be submissive to you because I'm the wife. And the wives are supposed to be submissive to the husbands. But a husband loves the wife unfailingly. In fact, we men are told to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And we know that he gave his life for the church. That's right. So men, if you're not giving your life for your wife, you're selling her short. Ladies, if you're not submitting to him and following his leadership, You're selling him short. God designed a husband and wife relationship, and he designed them to be like Velcro. You know how it is when two people first fall in love? They're like this. They're all over. They're like Velcro. You can't pull them apart. You know, it's like Vel and Crow. There they are, Vel and Crow. You need to be that way with Jesus Christ. In other words, when they see you, they see Jesus. I mean, you're like Vel and Crow. And so what Paul is trying to share with this church is that when I'm in Christ, when we are in Christ, we're a new creation. So the New Testament gives us a lot of characteristics, a lot of signs of how you can know if you're in Christ. And I'm going to go through these. I'm not going to give them all. Trust me, we'd be here a long time. I just want to give you a few this morning. This is how you can know if I am really in Christ or maybe I am not really truly in Christ. The first one is this: you're made alive. We are told that when we are in Christ, we just don't have life. We have a full life. See, when you're in Christ, you're not surviving, you're thriving. See, if you're just surviving, trying to make it through this life, you may have stepped out of Christ. Because when you are in Christ, you're going to thrive. Even through the most horrendous, horrific, challenging times of your life, you can thrive in Jesus Christ through this situation. And not only that, you can look forward to and you can live a victorious life each and every day. So ask yourself, right now, am I thriving? Am I truly victorious? Or am I just trying to make it to the end? That's how you know if you're in Christ. Not only that, we're free. We are free from addictions. We are free from bad habits. We are free even from judgment because we are in Christ Jesus. When you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you commit yourself to him and you lock up with him, he'll set you free from those addictions. So today, if you have some addictions that you can't get rid of, and you're struggling over and over again, the reason why you're struggling is because you more than likely are not truly in Christ Jesus. I know from my personal life that I have had many struggles and many addictions, and Jesus has set me free. Your addiction may not be my addiction, but here's what I know, is that when you get a hold of Jesus, he will set you free. My last addiction that I really had was Mountain Dew. And you may say, well, what's the big deal about Mountain Dew? Type 1 diabetic. And my doc, let me tell you how bad it was. I would get up in the morning, the first thing out of bed, I would go get a Mountain Dew. I'd have a Mountain Dew for snack. I'd have one for lunch. I'd have one for snack. I'd have one for dinner. Have one before I go into bed. Hey. So I was like the legal alcoholic, I guess you'd call it. I was addicted. And my endocrinologist kept telling me, you keep this up, you won't see your children get married. The problem is I thought I really didn't have a problem. That was the sad part. Although I couldn't live without it, I just didn't think I was that bad with it. And finally, when my A1C records kept going up and up and all of my blood tests kept going up and up, I realized I have a problem. So then I get before the Lord and I said, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need you to help me. God, there's no way I can do this on my own. Lord, would you set me free? At the beginning, it was a little bit of a challenge. But come next month, it'll be 6 years since I have drank one. Folks, when we are in Christ Jesus, he will set you free from your addictions. But not only that, when you are in Christ Jesus, he's going to give you a purpose. You're going to have a purpose in life. I'm always amazed that you see the people, I'm trying to go find myself. Listen, don't find yourself. That's the worst thing you could ever do. Find Jesus. Find Jesus. Because when a man tries to find himself, he will lose it. And you are struggling over and over to try to find yourself in your job, try to find yourself in your spouse, try to find yourself at the gym. Listen, quit finding yourself. If you will find Jesus, you will live the most incredible life you've ever lived. Just saying. When you're in Christ, you have strength. You have strength to resist the enemy in temptation. When you are truly in Christ, you have strength to resist that. Remember the very first sin in the Bible? When Adam and Eve fell to sin, was God anywhere around them? No, he wasn't. They left him. See, when you're in Christ, it's hard to sin because he'll be with you to convict you, to encourage you, to help you. But when you walk away from Jesus, you're in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. Not only that, when you are truly in Christ, you're going to have a fulfilled purpose with strength. You'll understand, I'm strong enough to do what God's called me to do. See, right now, some of you struggle to go to work every day because you don't think you can do it. If you will plant yourself in Christ, he will give you the strength to do what he's called you to do at your job. Also, he's going to give you the strength to fight for the Lord, to fight for your family, and to fight for your children, and to fight in general. We're not talking physical fight. We're talking spiritual fighting. If you're tired of losing in life, if you will get in Christ, he's going to give you the strength to become a winner. And not only that, he's going to give you confidence. He's going to give you confidence to do things you've never thought you could do before. Listen, he's going to give you confidence that you can fulfill the purpose he's called you to do. He's going to give you confidence to have the strength to tackle any challenge in front of you. He's going to give you the confidence to help you in any and every situation in life. Let's be honest. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. And just this past week, one of my greatest assets sometimes is my greatest hindrance of me. I like to serve people. And I got involved in a situation and I overstepped my boundary. And I knew I was in trouble. I mean, I was way in over my head. Well, the first thing I did was I sought wise counsel. I prayed, then I sought wise counsel, and then I sat down with my wife and we prayed. And it was just real simple. Lord, I need your help. God, I can't do this. And then I made the phone call that I needed to make. And the Lord delivered me and blessed me from the problem. See, God knows we're going to get in trouble sometimes. But God wants you to have the confidence to know that when you get in trouble, if you will seek his face, if you will seek wise counsel, and you will pour your heart out to him, he'll help you. Just that clear. But not only that, when we are in Christ, we're bold. Christ will give you a boldness. Christ is giving you a boldness big enough that when you're in a local restaurant after church today, you won't have a problem praying for your food. Some Christians are too ashamed to pray for their food. You got to ask, are you truly in Christ that you're ashamed of him that you won't pray in a public restaurant for your food? Every Thursday, we have a group of men from the church that go down to a local restaurant and we eat together. And we all take turns praying. And where we're at, it's pretty full, but we don't mind standing up and praying. We don't care what people think because we're going to honor our Lord. But not only that, when you are filled with the Spirit and you are in Christ, you can also pray for people publicly. It wasn't so long ago, I went down to Walmart, and there's an employee at Walmart that I always talk to, and she was struggling. Right there in the entryway of Walmart, I said, come here, I'm going to pray with you. And I grabbed her hands, and it wasn't like, Lord bless you, and we're over with. I mean, I prayed for a few minutes, and I really didn't care who was coming around me, because my focus was to minister to this woman who needed help. See, I wasn't concerned what the public thought about me. I was concerned about what she was doing in her life. I ran into her yesterday and she said, Pastor Chuck, you're not going to believe this. I'm going to be baptized this coming summer. Amen. And what I told her was, I said, hey, let me know the date because I want to be there for that date. So if one summer Sunday morning you don't see me, I'm going to watch her be baptized. Listen, Christ will give you the boldness to share him with other people. Christ is going to give you the boldness to live your life and his life out loud. And Christ will give you the boldness to stand up in a world when he needs to be seen and heard. But not only that, Christ will also give you wisdom. He'll help you to make wise choices if you give to him. There are incredible things we can learn being in Christ. The last four I want to give you, I can't say they're the most important, Because I don't think they are. I think these are all important. This is like, what's more important, the kidney, the liver, the lungs, the heart? And you have to say, I can't live without any of them. Exactly. You can't live without any of these truly. So you can't live this life that we're living if you're not in Christ. You got to have boldness. You got to have strength. You've got to learn to be free from your addictions. You got to have a purpose in life. But let me tell you what's good about being in Christ. See, when I'm in Christ, there's no condemnation and no separation. You know what's so good about that, church? Is that when the devil wants to accuse me, before I can even open my mouth, my Savior steps right by me and says, oh, no. I took care of that problem. He's mine. You can't hang this over his head. I forgive him of that. He's free. See, there's no condemnation. And also, there's no separation. God's never going to leave me. I never have to feel lonely. I never have to feel abandoned if I am in Christ. And not only that, he's given me a faith and a love that will overflow. When people are truly in Christ, you can tell. They're not fanatical. You call them a fanatic, they're not really. They're just in love with Jesus. Why don't we do away with the derogatory term? If you see somebody and say they're a fanatic for Jesus, no, they're not. They're just in love with Jesus, and we need to follow them. Because truly, his love will flow in and through your life. You're going to love people. You're going to encourage people. Here's how you really know when Jesus Christ, when you're really, truly in Jesus Christ. The person that has hurt you and harmed you the most, you will get before the Lord on your knees and say, God, I pray today for healing. I pray today, Lord, for deliverance. I pray today, Lord, they will be as blessed as much as I am. I pray today, God, they will know you like I know you. I pray today, God, there will be a restoration between our relationships. That's when you know you're in Christ. Rather than saying, Lord, please kill them. Lord, please take them out. Come on, y'all prayed that way before. You know it. Y'all like that little schoolboy that came to the Lord in prayer and he said, Lord Jesus, my teacher's knocking on death's door. Just go ahead and pull her on through. That's when you know. Hey, when you're in Christ Jesus, you have eternal life. See, one day I'm going to depart from here. And it wasn't because I died, because I'm never dying. All I'm doing is I'm making a transition from this earth to my home in heaven. I'm not dying. This old short pancreas failure, bald person, this body will die. Thank God he's giving me a new one. I'm hoping God will give me a tall body in heaven. But I don't care. Because see, greater is he in me than he that's in the world. I got eternal life. I'm living it. Let me give you one more. When you are truly in Christ, and some of you need to hear this morning, he will reconcile you. That's just a fancy word to say he's going to restore you. He's going to restore you. See, a lot of us have messed our lives up. We've done some things we wish we've never done. And we look pretty bad. I want to show you a picture. So my brother-in-law is a pastor. And he decided with him and his son, they wanted to restore an old truck. This is a 37 GMC. He says they're very hard to find because they used them for work trucks. And, you know, they got abused and stuff on the farm. But he said him and his son took this 37 GMC truck, and they were going to restore it. Took them about a year. Took them a lot of effort and energy. They had to tear things out. They had to break things down. They had to put things back together. And so there was part of the bed that was messed up, and so they involved his father-in-law, my dad, to help rebuild the bed. So you have a grandfather, a father, and a son that rebuilt this Chevrolet. Rough looking to start with. This is what it looks like. Now, after. Roughly $2,000 was involved getting this truck back up and running. It's worth about $50,000 now. See, Sometimes life will beat you up and beat you down real bad. And even sometimes the Lord will break you down real bad. But the purpose of that is to restore you into the human being that He wants you to be, to make you new and whole. What He wants to do is do a classic restoration in your life. He wants to restore you to you the way He originally designed you and He originally designed me. Because let me tell you what, when the restoration process is over, you're going to be worth more than your mind could ever imagine. You're going to be more valuable, more precious than anybody could ever see. Here's what I love about this situation. A grandfather, a father, and a son rebuilt this truck. There is a father, there is a son, and a Holy Spirit that wants to rebuild your life. They want to rebuild your life. And if you don't believe me, Isaiah 61 makes it clear. To console those who mourn in Zion. Why? To give them beauty for ashes. So your life may be a wreck today. God can take your ashes and make it one beautiful creation. He wants to give you oil that will give you joy instead of mourning. He wants to give you a garment of praise so you can celebrate rather than being heavy. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And listen, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. See, God wants to rebuild you today. So, in a nutshell, the greatest part about in Christ, we've already discussed that. You know what the greatest part about being in Christ is this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You're new. That old you can die today. He can wipe it away. And not only that, He's going to take your past and He's going to wipe that away. And you're going to become a very new person. So let me ask you the question. Are you in Christ? Or maybe you just are texting Christ right now. You're just talking to Christ. Are you in Christ? And maybe you just kind of know Him, but you haven't talked to Him in years. Or would you say, I am in Christ because I have given my whole life. There is an intimacy with Him. I hold nothing back. He holds nothing back from me. I am in Christ. If you're not in Christ Jesus this morning, today is the day you need to be there. Because when you finally come into Him and you give Him everything, I mean, there's nothing held back. You give Him all of your life, your life will drastically change. The characteristics will be phenomenal. The question is, are you in Christ? And if you're not, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and make it so today, so that you can leave different, so that your family will be different, so that your coworkers will be different, because they will see the difference in you. Father, thank You so much for Your Son Jesus, who died on Calvary for our sins. I thank You that in Him, I'm a new creation. Holy Spirit, today I pray that You would begin a work in our lives, that You would right now speak to those who think they're a place that they're not. Call them out today. I ask that You would let those who are truly in love with You, let them know today, Lord, so they can be bold and confident for You. Father, for those who have been a while, they haven't known You, today would You renew their relationship with You. Lord, today we want to be in Christ so that we truly can be a new creation. I pray that will happen right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message from River of Life. If this message has touched you today, or if you need someone to pray with, please contact us at 850-926-1200 or email us at info@rolcrawfordville.com. We also want to encourage you to visit us this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. in Crawfordville. Please visit us online at rolcrawfordville.com for more information and directions.